My name is Yosef Grossman. I'm from the OU. We have a program in the OU which this year is under that auspices. So I'll just speak about just for a minute and introduce the Chasheva person who's going to be giving the shiur. The Ask OU is advanced seminars in Kasherus. And Baruch Hashem, we started in 18 years ago in the OU, and Baruch Hashem, we just finished a three-week program, our 12th three-week program, where we had Koilel, Yungalite, and B'nai Yeshiva, and Smicha students from all over the United States. Mexico, we even had somebody there this year. Our speaker today is one of the amudim of the program. The program itself has been to many yeshivas, Tar V'Das, Teresh Yishalayim, Or HaChaim in Queens. This is also called Or HaChaim, right? There's a different Or HaChaim. Based in Medrash Gavoya, Lakewood, many times we have had Magid Shir from Rav Belsky, who last year he gave a shir there to three kollelim together from Beis Medrash Gavoya, but other Magidei Shir. And it's a pleasure for us to come to kollelim wherever they are. I think this morning even Rabbi Tzvi Nussbaum spoke at Rabbi Rudinsky's kollel, also on Derry, on DE, which the OU doesn't have DE. Maybe Rabbi Gordon was going to speak about it. Anyway, it's a great kavod to Hamafrasomis Ein Tzrichim Rais. I'm sure that by the end of this year, you'll be convinced that Rabbi Gordon is one of the biggest experts around in Derry, especially what's Negev Bizman Azed, the Metzias of Cholv Stam, Cholv Yisrael. So it's a big kavod for me personally to introduce my good chaver, Rav Avram Gordon Rishlita.
Thank you, Rabbi Grossman. Thank you, Rabbi Shiner, for inviting me. It's a big chutzpah to be here, a big kavod to be here. If I ask if you can please hold any questions till the end. If I say something, I tend to go very quickly, unfortunately. So if I'm too fast, please just slow me down, tell me. And if I'm not clear, tell me. But if anything besides the speed or the clarity, let's try to finish the presentation, so to say, then we'll go to questions. Because otherwise, the questions very often can be more than just the presentation, and we can't get too far. So let's start. Yisro of Halavakim, we're familiar with the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Avodah Zarah, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and so forth. The question is, how does Chol Yisrael supervise? That's the first thing. Chol Yisrael, having the Yid of the Chaliv, the Yehudi of the Chaliv, how to supervise? So when I first started dealing with the OU with Chol Yisrael, we used to supervise Ahava Dairies. It's no longer a business, but we used to supervise them, the OU plus seven other kashrus agencies. I talked to Rebelsky about it. At that time, there were Mashkichim at Ahava who were living on the farms, but they weren't watching the Chaliv every moment. And Hisachdus made some type of takana in which there were punch clocks, and Mashkichim every 20 minutes had to be there at the Chaliva. So I asked Rebelsky, you know, what should we do? What should the position be? Should we require this or not? So he told me that Rav Schwab Zatzal from Breuer's in Washington Heights in my neighborhood, when they started the Ha'olam cheese under many years ago under Breuer's, Rav Schwab required as follows. He required three Hashkocha visits. We know the Shach says Yotze V'Nichnas is fine for Chol Yisrael. You don't have to have a Mashiach watching every second. Tchilas Echaliva we require. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. And we require also Sofa Chaliva. The reason for that is that at every Chol Yisrael production, all the Chol Yisrael productions, these are all non-Jewish farms. No, there's no, except for an Eretz Yisrael maker, there's no such thing as a Jewish Chol Yisrael. They're all not Jewish farms. So we have to have somebody there sealing up the tank that holds the milk, sealing up the truck, carrying the milk to the dairy where it's going to be made into cheese or pasteurized into bottle, whatever it is. We have to have Mashiach coming in at the end to seal up what's been done with chasimos. However, though, Rav Schwab also required during the Chaliva. Every Chaliva is about a six-hour milking. So during the Chaliva, at least once in the middle, unannounced, the Mashiach must come in as well. So that's the official policy. We said it many years ago. Tchilas Chaliva, Sofa Chaliva, as well as one time at least unannounced during the Chaliva. That's the Yotze V'Nichnas we fulfill what the Shach is talking about in Kuf Tesvav Sif Aleph. We had a question many years ago. There was a dairy company in Denmark under a European kosher agency, And this is very high tech. In Europe, dairy is much more high tech than in America. America is way ahead in a lot of things, but when it comes to dairy and food processing, I think Europe beats us hands down. So in Europe, they had this robotic farm. Rather than having farms like we have in America, in which people aren't milking the cows like the Amish farm by hand, pulling the udders, but they have in America their milking machines. They've had them for decades. We probably remember videos of going to farms as kids, seeing milk machines attached to the cow's udders, and the milk comes out, and you remove it. There, they have the case in which the cows, they go to eat their food, their feed, they go to a trough, an eating station, and when they go to eat, then there's an electronic chip on the cow, and some type of, I don't know the technology, some type of identifier on the machinery near the trough, and the cow's going to eat, then these machine suction cups come up on the udders of the cows and start milking the cow as it comes to eat. And each cow is identified, and the suction cups are fitted, tailored per cow, to the size and the location of its udders. And it's all robotically done. Once a day, every 12 hours or so, they stop the system, clean it out, they just let it go. So one agency there wanted to say, we don't require hashgacha. Just set it up with a mashgiach, start it and let it go. Rabbi Belskin or Shechter at the OU said no. They said Yeshev and Mashiach, and they're the same frequency. Their reason, as far as I remember, is many, many years, probably 15 years ago, was that even though there are two things. Number one is that in these, the idea of the mashkichim are to make sure that there's no taros of chalav behemah tameya. So in this case, even though it goes by itself, and it's true, the suction cups are fitted to the cows, to their udders where they are. However, who's to say that there's not somebody, or shechter, who's to say there's not somebody taking some milk from somewhere else, from whatever animal, and just adding it into the milk silo when there's no way to monitor that, first of all. That's what shechter said to me. You have to have a tight, Haliva, you can't just say, well, since they're all tailored to the cows, you have to make sure that the milk supply is secure. That's the idea of the Hashokah, securing the milk supply. Therefore, unless the milk supply is secured by physical Mashiachim for Chol Israel, it's not acceptable. Belsky also held that we should be the same frequency as we have here. Belsky seemed to hold that the idea is you have Yisrael Roweh, having the Yid there. It doesn't matter the reliability of the system. Having the Yid there is a necessity no matter what. So though you said the Mashiachim must be there, so tchilas chiluva, sofa chiluva, and at least once during every 6-hour span. It's 12-hour chiluva. We're going to have five visits. At least five hashgacha visits. Three in the middle and an hour. That's how we set it up at the time. Cholav stam. We talk about cholav stam all the time. Cholav companies, as Ramosha talks about in the Yoredeya, in Chelik Aleph, and Zion through Memtes, and later on another chalakim Yoredeya and Igros Moshe. Those days, when Moshe wrote it, in terms of Cholav Stam, the Metzius was, Moshe talks about in I think the second or third Shuv in Chelik Aleph in Yoredeya, that there were farms that were not licensed, unlicensed farms. And Moshe says, since the Beis Yosef says that if you have milk that's low bol yad Yisrael, while the milk's still in the hands of the farmers, before it gets to the hands of transition to the consumers, there's no Cholav Sisser. And therefore, you had some unlicensed farms. The farms had no pikuach hamemshala, no government supervision. But since these farms were then transporting it to a non-Jewish dairy, and then to the consumers, so from the non-licensed farm that had no supervision, no government inspectors, then there to the non-Jewish dairy processors that bottle the milk and pasteurize the milk, there's no Cholav Sisser, even though there's nothing to verify the farms, that the farms had no behemoth tomatoes and so forth. That was in those days, and that's what Moshe posted on that. However, Bisman is that the Metzius is different. I'm not saying you should rely or not rely upon it, but the halacha is the same. But the Metzius, though, today is much better than it was then. Today, every single farm that sells milk to the commercial milk supply is government inspected. State and federal. State is primary in all these cases. State and federal are primary. But every state, so if a farm wants to sell milk to a dairy processor, to a dairy facility that's going to bottle and make it into cheese, butter, whatever it is, that farm must be inspected by the government, it must be licensed by the state government. And the way it's done now is that when a tanker, the milk tankers, that you've probably seen them on the road, these large silver tankers, they stop anywhere between 1 to 12 farms and they pick up milk and more milk and more milk, they add until they're filled up, then they go on to a dairy bottling plant and they pasteurize the milk, they heat it, kill the germs and bottle it, whatever. These tankers, when they go to a farm, the way it is now, every single farm today has to be approved, and there's a sample flask of milk from every farm that has to be put in the back of the tank or in a special section, and that flask is barcoded. And if that barcode doesn't match up at the receiving dairy, if it doesn't match up, it means it's not a licensed provider of milk, the milk can't be unloaded, it won't be received. So today, not only are the dairies themselves inspected, but the farms are thoroughly inspected. Not only that, even the transportation, the tankers, any tanker today that's carrying milk is inspected by state governments not only for sanitation, but make sure, you know, it has the proper washes and the proper detergents and so forth, but all their loads are inspected. So if the government sees that the tanker is carrying, they see they're carrying milk, an unidentified farm, that's a very big problem. If the farm is unidentified, not licensed by the government, being inspected, that's a big problem. So say the whole trail, from the farm, every single farm, through the tankers, through the factories where the milk is processed, the dairy products are made, every single thing is licensed by the state, affected by the state. That's that. I'm not saying that this doesn't affect the halacha mikrid in terms of the, you know, if you don't rely upon halacha, you don't rely upon it. But in terms of people saying, well, it's not reliable, there's nobody checking it. That's not true. Not true at all. Not true at all. Don't rely upon it, it's fine, but it's not. It sees today is much tighter than it used to be. I talked to Rav Elsner Schechter about different countries. Even though Moshe wrote about America, but many countries have dairy policies that are actually equal, if not better, than in the United States. Canada is equal to the United States. European Union, actually, EU countries, those countries actually have a similar, if not better, dairy standards than the U.S. In fact, and we'll talk about this hopefully later in terms of butter, some butter, there's a big concern about butter. I'm jumping ahead a drop, but just to illustrate this. The main concern of butter is that butter can contain whey cream, non-kosher whey cream from non-kosher cheese production. And in America, there are a lot of butter plants that use whey cream, they use regular sweet cream from milk, all types of creams, they blend creams. In Europe, you can't have that. In Europe, if you have sweet cream, regular cream for making kosher butter, so to say, you can't have whey cream in the plant. That's the European Union regulation. So their regulations are very tight there. So European Union countries qualify. I one time got a letter from, two letters, one from Chief Rabbi of Moscow, and the other, I forgot his name, Pinchas Goldschmidt. Another one, we got it from Rabbi Weich from Ukraine, and they said that the milk regulation, they felt reliable there for Paul of Stam as well. I believe the OU at the time did accept it. I talked to Rebelski about it. He mentioned that there's one Gedol Nerev Yisrael said you don't even need that because since Chazal were only gozer or gzera on a metzias in which there is no regulation. If everyone called Yishayahu ben Avyasa, whoever wants to do what they can do, that's the metzias. If there are regulations in place, even if the regulations are worthless and you can cheat and bribe, that's not the metzias that goes. Rebelski was not happy with that at all. He says, no, it has to be regulation that has a mirsus. There's anan sadeh, we know that there's a reliable inspection going on, that this is chalav behemah tahara, but based upon that metzias, in the Goldschmidt, and that Rabbi Bleich provided the presenter, Rebelski felt it was reliable, at least at the time. In terms of chalav stam, the notable Rishonim who definitely would not accept Chol of Stam today would be the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis and the Ravid, the Ravid as well, and the Rashba quotes. They hold that Chazal's Gezerah was you have to have Yisrael Rehu Mamish. Whatever type of Yediyah Brewer, Mochel Yediyah Brewer, we know that Chol Behem Tameh in Omeid. You can't make butter, you can't make cheese out of a Chol Behem Tameh. That's the reason that many poskim hold. If you have cheese, certainly you have butter, the Shulchan Aruch Mikra Din, the Ram Mikra Din, if you have butter, this butter will be kosher. Because butter cannot have chalav behemah tameh in it. If you cook the butter, you make sure the butter has all the moisture removed, this butter is only chalav behemah tahara. It's a fact. It's like an anan sade, it's a fact. But the Rashba and the Ravid, Docha B'Shtei Yadayim, the Torah Sabayis, and the Ravid also, and the Ravid and Rama, no, it's not acceptable. They require you throw away. You have to have the yid there. So the whole heter of chalav stam today, which is also an anasade. We know that this is the Chol Behemah Torah, as if we're seeing it. We know that, you know, the government is inspecting it, it's all reliable. There's a Yediyah Brura, they don't accept a Yediyah Brura. So in terms of Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ravid Avada would not hold the Heter of Chol of Stam. They require physically Yisroa Oehu. That's very important to note, that idea. There is, on the other side of the spectrum, the Sheet of the Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh, as many of us probably know, holds that the gzera of Chol of Akum is really similar to the other gzeras of Chazal, in which there is not a davar shebe minyan, and therefore if you have a reason to say, if you have a good reason, a good svara why it shouldn't apply, it doesn't apply. So Pre-Chadosh, we know, writes that if the Chol of Behemah Tameya is far more expensive than Chol of Behemah Torah, where there's ain't tamei be'ir, there's no Behemah Tameya in the ear, the milk is fine. We know that the Aruch HaShulchan and most poskim vehemently reject that idea. It's a davar shebe minyan, it's not sofer. Nevertheless, the Pre-Chadosh, there are communities actually, as long as they rely upon the Pre-Chadosh. I was told, and somebody showed me a letter from one of the Rabbanim, one of the Mashiachim, head Mashiachim in Mexico, not an Oyu Mashiach, but a separate Mashiach in Mexico, that said we rely upon the Pre-Chadosh due to the fact that Here we have no behemoth tomatoes that are used for farming here, or for milk, whatever it is, and the cost of the Chol HaBehemoth is normally very expensive, like mare milk in Canada, mare milk in France, horse milk in France, is like 15 or 20 times the price of cow milk. Somebody showed me something about camel milk. There's a concern. One of the other agencies contacted me and says that there were articles recently about camel milk. Camel dairies in Pennsylvania, they're based in California, they have farms in Pennsylvania, Amish camel farms. Somebody was saying, what have we to do with this? I contacted the state agencies, and they said these aren't licensed. It's not even defined as milk. It can't even be sold as a dairy product. But besides that, if you do a little research, you see that camel milk is 20 times the price of cow milk, or even of it's much more something like goat milk or sheep milk. So the prichadash, for that reason, even if it is licensed, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about it being camel milk, because it would be camel milk not messing up the milk supply. But we don't. Most of us, most didn't hold like prichadash. Most posts don't like prichadash. It's a das yachid, and we hold that the Chol HaVakim is a davar shebeminyan, and therefore we require either re'iyah or Moshe has the abrura, which is the equivalent of re'iyah. That's the standard that the kosher agencies require, and assumedly will always require. Let's get into cheese now. Cheese, in order to understand cheese, we have to understand the structure of milk.
I just want to point out that we once got a question to OU from a chaplain in, he lived here in Arsameach in Muncie, and he was a chaplain when they went against Saddam Hussein. He wanted to know, could he drink milk there based on Moshe? And Rebelsky said that there is a shush of camel milk. Mm-hmm. And in the New York Times, the article they wrote, that people drink camel milk. So this heter is
for the U.S. The yeah, States. Definitely not for Arab countries. Definitely, they're the camel is the equivalent of they're the cow milk is probably the equivalent of camel milk here.
Is the color different?
You see?
Is the color different?
The color.
Yes, I forgot the difference. I researched. I forgot the difference. It is a different color. But if you're Ma'ariv, the whole chashash is you're Ma'ariv. So if you're Ma'ariv, then you couldn't.